Welcome to Life in the Balance, hosted by Dr. Mark Eggers, professor of organizational psychology and an expert on work-life balance, and Dr. Casey Lear, director of community health research and an expert on negotiation and managing conflict. Balancing work, family, and life can seem impossible. We discuss the challenges and share stories and strategies that can work for you. Join us and start living your life in the balance. All right. Hello and welcome to Life in the Balance 2023 version. I'm your host, Dr. Mark Eggers, and I'm here with my rock star co-host, Dr. Casey Lear.
Hello.
We are so excited to be back, so excited to be here in 2023, showing up with more Life in the Balance episodes. And of course, we're so grateful that you've decided to join us today. Life in the Balance is about the journey to a healthy and meaningful life, learning to prioritize paths to thriving at home, at work, with our families, in our careers, or in whatever ways afford us happiness, health, success, and love. We are here on Coyote Radio live every Friday at 2 o'clock now, change from 10 to 2, with new shows every other week. And of course, each new show is archived on Podbean, and so our Friday episodes will show up there on Mondays. Send us your work-life questions at livelifeinthebalance@gmail.com and check out our Life in the Balance website at livelifeinthebalance.org. All right, Casey, 2023.
Welcome back. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm excited. I'm refreshed, rejuvenated, re-energized.
Do you feel all those things?
No. Some of them. No, I do. I do. You know, there's something about the new year that is always kind of exciting and refreshing, and you know, you kind of get a new start. So, you know, I'm feeling those things.
Good. Me too.
Did you get to, you know, break away and get some?
You know me. I did some breaking away. Yeah, I took a vacation, as did you, and we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
But yeah, I took some time off, recharged, refreshed.
Yeah. I have to admit, you know, man, it hits you fast when you come back.
Yeah.
Right? I got the break and you know, enjoyed it and got some time away and whatever. But man, that hamster wheel starts humming fast.
I feel like it's one day that I'm back and then I'm feeling refreshed, calm, relaxed, and the day after that, it's a train has hit me.
Right. I mean, I do think there is something to, you know, some resilience, some buffer that being on that break, being on that vacation gives us, that helps prepare us for when we get back.
Right.
But it's
it's brutal.
I tell you.
It's brutal.
Yeah. Oh, too funny.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, we've made some goals last year.
We did.
Have you made any changes? Are you feeling like your work-life balance has improved? Have you thought about those things at all?
You're just going to make me share my failures right off the bat. No, totally cool. So I think that there are things in place, right?
Yeah.
In terms of, some of them are mindset kinds of things, right? So just thinking about, you know, like one of the things, for example, that I shared at the end of the year last year was, you know, how important it is to identify what your priorities are and then make sure you're investing in them. I'm meaning those non-work priorities,
yes.
Right? And so I do feel like, you know, when I think about some of the things I want to do with my kids or spend time at home, or things I want to do with V, my wife, at home, right? That I'm doing all right heading into this year about sort of, you know, being clear about what those things are and identifying some things I can do to engage in those, right?
Yeah.
To invest in those. And,
yeah.
And you know, that's the thing that I always say, right? Is it, you want to invest in those things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hit and miss in terms of execution.
Okay.
Right. And so, in fact, it's interesting that you asked this, because just yesterday I was talking about how there's my youngest son is doing a play,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's part of the community theater and it's his first one and he's enjoying it and he's really excited. And it was going to kind of be my thing to help him with that, uh-huh. right? And, like, there's already been, like, two things where, you know, V just did it because I couldn't do it and I wasn't there for time. And I was thinking about that yesterday. And honestly, it made me sad. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, you're already, you know, and this is February 2, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, so execution is of course, is always the struggle.
Right.
But I think having identified some of those things that I want to be doing and prioritizing makes it, means that I more quickly can see, oh, wait a minute, I'm messing up, right? That wait, yeah. that, oh, wait, I had said that was something I want to do. Whereas when it's just broad in general of, oh, I want to spend more time at home, well, there's no markers for that, right? There's, it's harder to track when you're struggling.
Yeah.
So I do feel that's going to be helpful for me, right? Those goals are identified, they're clearer, yeah. they're more precise. And so I'll be like, oops, okay, I need to fix that.
That sounds like a victory to me.
I'm counting it as a win.
It's a win.
yeah.
The play's not for a month, so you have plenty of time.
There you
to,
go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Good.
How about you? Same question.
Yeah. Ooh. We're good.
We good? All right. Don't worry about that. That was just a glitch in the matrix. We're back.
I feel like last semester, before the break, I was looking at all the issues I needed to address in my life. And since then, I think I've really hit them head on and I've done a lot better with work-life balance.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
What's some of that mean?
I think I'm saying no to things when I feel overwhelmed and being communicative about being overwhelmed. I'm making to-do lists the night before of things I want to accomplish the following day. And that just makes my next day so much easier. It's shocking how helpful that is.
Now, let me ask, is that a list of work things or is it both?
It's usually 2 to 3 work things that I want to accomplish and sprinkled in some fun things that I want to make sure that I'm doing for myself.
Hang out with Mark, that
exactly.
kind of stuff.
Gotcha. Exactly. The big thing for me, and I'm going to sound pretentious and bougie by saying this, but I joined a yoga studio and I've been really focused on meditation and mindfulness and completely prioritizing being present. And it's been the best thing for my mental health. It's been so good for my job and staying focused and being present. I'm very excited about.
That's outstanding.
Yeah.
You know, there's a growing literature on that too, right? Showing that some of those yoga and mindfulness kinds of interventions are really helpful for folks trying to manage work stress and, you know, being able to disengage once they're home. And yeah,
it's been something I've wanted to do for a very long time. And for some reason, it's just hard to carve out that extra time for something like that. But it's worth the time. I'm really happy about it.
You got to teach me how, I mean, not the yoga, although maybe, but just how to do that, how to carve out that time for things like that. Because you're right. It almost seems like, wait a minute, I'm not doing enough, right?
Yes.
So, but that's the whole point.
Yeah. I look forward to it at the end of work. It's like, this is where I'm going, what I'm doing. And I think after a few days of doing it, you see the value and benefit, and there's nothing more important to carve out time for, I think.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Well, hey, I might start showing up at class.
Yeah, come visit.
I'm not very bendy. That's the problem. So yoga is a little bit intimidating
for me. I'm not either. I really just go for the mental health space, but either way.
Nice.
Yeah.
So those were our vacations.
That was it.
No.
Well.
What else happened?
We both went to Mexico.
We did. Though not together.
Not together.
No.
With the same person.
We could have. We could have. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a short trip to Mexico for a family wedding, which was great. Beautiful, wonderful to get away. But I struggled.
Did you?
I struggled with, you know, there was some stuff that was coming up for work, right? So it was break, but this was right at the first week of January. So, you know, we were coming up on the beginning of the semester, had a bunch of stuff on campus going on the week after returning from the trip. And admittedly, it was on my mind.
Yeah.
And I struggled. We were there. We did like a Thursday to Sunday thing. Mm-hmm. And it was probably Saturday morning before I was like, oh, okay, I'm relaxing. You know, I was ruminating. I was, you know, struggling to sleep. I was waking up feeling the heaviness of, you know, because that's the whole thing, right? You're supposed to be there to get away. You're supposed to let. So I'm feeling that well, I don't know if pressure is the right word. It's like, yeah, rough time, right? The pressure of enjoying Cabo, right? But, you know, right? So I realized that sounds dumb, but that is what I felt, right? Yeah. Like, I'm like, okay, I'm supposed to break away, but this stuff is on my mind. So it did. Yeah, it took a while. It about half the trip was probably eaten up by that, which is a shame.
Yeah. So you just have to do longer next time.
Have to do longer, which you know a lot about.
I do.
Longer trips.
I do. Actually, my trip was twice the length of yours. Yeah. I know.
It was.
I was better at unplugging.
Were you able to just sort of immediately?
I completely unplugged, but I guess we have different kind of jobs where mine is out of office. Email someone else, please. But yours is a little different.
Elements of it are, right? But also it's how you set it up, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Like I should have done a better job before leaving of not having things that I thought were on my plate.
Could you have done that?
I don't know, but I got to look at that.
Okay.
But I think that's it. I do think, I mean, you know, I don't want to jump into the luxury part that I so easily fall into, but I do kind of think that's part of the answer, right? It's taking responsibility and looking, you know, like, do I really believe work can't go on without me?
Right.
If I do, that's awful obnoxious of me, right? Yeah. Like an awful narcissistic, like it's going to go on without me. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, I got to do a better job of setting it up before I leave so that the things take care of themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you might be doing another trip soon. So
am I?
Yeah. I mean, your wife asked me to maybe watch your kids. So
you've been dropping hints about this. I can't wait to go. I don't know where or when or how, but...
So you'll have another opportunity. These opportunities will come up again. Don't worry.
Well, I appreciate, I mean, I don't want to turn this into a trite thing, but you are the vacation queen, as we have discussed many times. And I like that not only do you role model vacation outstandingness, but you also support it in others by watching my kids. Thank you.
Absolutely. I want people to enable me the same way. So it's a community effort here of us all to take care of each other's mental health and well-being.
I love it. That's great. Larry, I'm here to support you. Oh, man. Well, and that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, right? What are we here for? We kind of wanted to do that, right? And recap a little bit about how where we are and how our break went and how we're doing with 2023 goals. Mm-hmm. But what we really want to talk about today is
vacation, the benefits of vacation and how important it is to take time off of work.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And cue me wanting to sing, but not being able to sing the song Vacation by the Go-Go's. I tried it earlier. Well, it didn't go very well.
Okay.
So we'll skip it.
Save it for karaoke night.
Right.
We know very well that stress is the worst thing for your health and well-being. It's one of the biggest detriments about work is that it just piles this stress on top of you. Mm-hmm. So creating time and space away from work to detach, and even for greater lengths of time if you can for vacation, is really an amazing thing to do for your body.
So vacation can mean 2 weeks in Cabo or two, right?
Yeah.
But there's also... What I'm hearing you say, I think, is that vacations can be smaller, can be shorter, but you're at least breaking away and you're giving your body and your mind time to be away from the stressors, to recoup, to rejuvenate.
Mm-hmm. I've read so much about how your brain is a tool that you should use sometimes, and sometimes you need to set it down and let it not be working. If you had your washing machine running 24 hours a day, it would start to wear down really quick. Give it some rest.
Right.
You know, wear a shirt twice. I mean.
What's that smell? Now I understand. I've been wondering that.
Au naturel. This is some Francais. This is how we do.
Outstanding. Yeah. No, that's the key though, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the constant go. I mean, we know the demands of work. We beat that drum every time we're here talking but the reality is we have to proactively kind of take control, disengage, right? Disconnect and vacation.
Right. And what's surprising is that there's so many people who don't take that opportunity. A 2019 study by U.S. Travel Association said 55% of Americans do not use some or all of their vacation days.
Amazing.
It's wild.
Right. That must, like, knock you out. Like, as someone who, right? I mean, you use everyone, and then you steal others, and you use those vacation days. And
the math doesn't add up on my vacation days.
Right.
I don't know where these numbers are coming from.
Last year, I vacationed 386 days.
Who's in accounting? Who's doing these? I don't know what's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's amazing, right? But it's true. I see it. I mean, I see it in my role here on campus and where we're constantly reminding, you know, project personnel to, hey, take your vacation days, right. Take your vacations.
Right.
I see it informally among my friends.
Right.
Right. People just reluctant to take vacation. What's that about?
What is that about?
You don't understand it at all. You're like, it's inexplicable.
It is a little hard for me to wrap my head around.
Sure.
But
for sure.
People get into habits and routines. They feel like they might lose their job if they leave and mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. they might become less valuable. Work can't go on without them. What are some other reasons?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, I always think it's helpful to look at it in the larger context too, right? So, because a lot of individual behaviors, of course, are explained by or certainly strongly influenced by social norms and other things, right? And the reality is the U.S. in general is not very vacation friendly to its workforce. Right. There was a 2019 Center for Economic and Policy Research report, right, that looked at there were 38 nations which are part of this Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Mm-hmm. The United States is the only one without a national annual leave policy. And moreover, U.S. employees have, as part of their work arrangements, the fewest vacation days of amongst all of these nations, mm-hmm. right? Meaning available. Mm-hmm. Right. So even before you get to the point of, and then people don't take their days anyway, mm-hmm. U.S. workers have the fewest days, vacation days available to them in general, right? So it's interesting. I don't remember now exactly what it said, but the headline I was looking at said something like, you know, Americans have the fewest vacation days available and they still don't use them, right? Like, no.
Is it just like an undervaluing of rest? Our culture doesn't value.
It's got to be part of it, right? This recognition that our value is wrapped up in our performance, mm-hmm. and you know, so we have this sort of false sense, I'll call it, mm-hmm. of got to be there, got to be present, got to be, you know.
Do you think it's also? This is heavy.
Uh-oh.
Do you think it's also tied to capitalism and that jobs are kind of considered so discretionary and can be gone at any moment? But if you go to France, nobody gets fired. You work for 1,000 years for the same place.
I need a data point on that.
We've been giggling today. Let's be back and we'll talk more about vacation in just a minute.
And France.
And France. Welcome back. You're listening to Life in the Balance on Coyote Radio with Dr. Casey Lear and Dr. Mark Eggers.
Howdy, howdy.
Please send us your questions if you have any for the show. We'd love to answer them. Our email is livelifeinthebalance@gmail.com. You can also find us on the web at livelifeinthebalance.org and listen to any of our archive shows on Life in the Balance page on Podbean.
All right. Sorry about the abrupt ending. We had a little bit of a technical difficulty.
It's how it is in the showbiz world.
It is. It is. You know, people just don't understand, and I can't even explain it. But thankfully, we got a crack squad here. Amy's a rock star, too, and she got us up and running.
Ready to hit the ground running. All right.
So we were talking about how, the United States has sort of pretty low expectations for what employees should have as vacation time, mm-hmm. right? Or pretty a low reality, right? but also that we're not very good at taking advantage of our vacation time. What was the quote you gave? Was it 55%?
55%.
I mean, think about
that. Don't use their vacation time.
Right. And I see it, so I know it, right? But it, you know.
It's hard to understand.
It is hard to understand. So we were talking a little bit, and I wanted to come back to this before we jump to the next thing, mm-hmm. about why that is the case. Mm-hmm. In other words, you know, there's not much of it, and yet we're still not taking advantage of it. Why does that happen? Do you know? I don't mean that as a quiz show question.
I came up with a theory just as you said that, though.
Okay. Go
this
for
is
it.
Completely no data supporting it.
Life it.
Since we have such a small, scarce amount of vacation days given to uh-huh. us, maybe uh-huh. we hoard them more
uh-huh.
and are afraid to use them. Yeah, if they were abundant, we might use more vacation.
Interesting.
Oh, that's so smart. Okay, do you have any
clearly,
other?
I bow at the altar here. We need an economist, right? That's an economic theory. We need an economist to come help us out with that. But I could see that, right? Mm-hmm. That there's just the heightened value to it, so we protect it. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, we protect it so much that it ends up never being used,
right?
Crazy. Yeah, no, I can see that. I did read, you know, there was a recent study that was looking at some of this work, and one of the things they talked about, which I thought was interesting, was that one of the reasons people choose not to use their vacation time is because they don't believe they can effectively disengage during that time. Mm-hmm. So, right? So the assumption, I guess, is that they weigh the costs that they perceive by taking time, like, okay, I'm going to get behind, or I'm going to come back and I'm going to have a pile of work, mm-hmm. or, right? So there's these mm-hmm. negatives. And the positive, which would be, I'm going to disengage and I'm going to rejuvenate. And if they don't believe they can do that, mm-hmm. then they're less likely to take the time.
That's wild.
Wild, yeah. Right? But it's kind of wrapped up in that in this larger problem that we keep talking about, which is, you know, the stressors that work tends to put on us, because what we're basically saying, if you know, in that example, we're basically saying, I'm going to be so stressed about my workload mm-hmm. that I will not be able to disengage during break, and therefore I will not take break. Mm-hmm, I won't vacation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I don't know that it's entirely untrue. Like, I know before I leave for vacation that 2 days before are a stressful nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrapping up projects, delegating, closing loose ends. It's stressful.
Right.
I've been on a train to LAX before, frantically making calls and sending emails.
Right.
It's a real thing.
Right. No, the 30 minutes before your flight takes off on any vacation, you're like, right? And true, I've been there as
yes,
well, right?
Yes.
Those emails are flying out.
Right. Yeah. And when you come back, there's a mound.
Mm-hmm.
There's
mm-hmm.
a mound. So,
yeah. So that's, you know, they referred to it as detachment self-efficacy, mm-hmm, right? That mm-hmm. people's confidence to be able to detach meaningfully.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but, you know, one of the things I think about, you know, when I was reading that was about how, you know, part of it is how our work is set up and structured, right? So that a lot of our jobs are set up and structured such that, yeah, we've got to be there to do these things. Mm-hmm. We're counted on for that, and it's expected. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things that makes it challenging is that it's hard to find all of the ways that you need to set work aside so that you can go. Right. In other words, you know, like we were talking before, and you were asking me, like, you know, I was telling about my own struggle with mm-hmm. with detaching on our vacation over break, and you know, you asked, well, you know, did you prepare for it and did you set it aside or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, it's really hard to find ways to make sure work's going to be fine while you're gone, mm-hmm. or at least it feels that it's hard, mm-hmm. right? And I think that lowers the efficacy, that lowers our confidence.
Mm.
I don't know.
Does that mean delegating someone else to do it, or putting, or being able to let go and have confidence that?
Yeah, right, right. Part of it is that, right? Part of it is being able to delegate better. Part of it is having systems in place
right.
You know, and I think one. I don't know where this fits in on the individual level, but I think, you know, so many organizations run so thin, mm-hmm. right? Like yep. there's no backups, there's no layers.
Yes.
You know, the kind of thing where if one person is out sick, there's some aspect of that organization that can't get done that day.
Right.
Because nobody else does that function or does that job. And that to me is at the root of this problem as well. And I realize that as individuals, there's not much we can do about that, right? And mm-hmm. so, you know, somebody listening to this is like, yeah, great. Another problem I can't solve because it's out of my hands. But I do think in part the way our organizations are structured to be as thin, as lean as possible mm-hmm. means that, yeah, there are some things, if you're not there, they don't get done. So
I think you're so right that organizations are running lean and short mm-hmm. on people. I think you can, like, I had a client who wanted to meet right before my vacation. And I said, you know, I could pass this off to someone, but is it okay if we just meet up when I get back? Mm-hmm. And they were happy to push it off a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. So making that arrangement with other people, can this be moved a little bit? Mm-hmm. Can we, you know, thin out the work that happens for a little while?
Yeah, there's a mindset issue to it, right?
Yeah.
To recognize that not everything is urgent, not everything is must do now.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then also, you know, how do we lead the charge, right? For leaders, for organizations to, you know, we don't need to be so lean, right? Part of empowering employees to make healthier decisions and be comfortable going to work mm-hmm. is knowing that there's people who are still at the office who are going to make sure things get done.
Yeah.
And it's not that everything that I'm not doing while I'm gone is just piling up and creating problems for other people and or waiting for me when I get back, which I think that's got to be a ton of why people don't feel like they can disengage
mm-hmm.
because we know how much stuff just piles up when we're not there. I feel like I just depressed you.
Yeah, I got really stressed out.
Okay, we got to cut the show early today because we got to get back to the office.
I know. You have to take the time off. Your body needs it. Your mind needs it. You will come back to work a better person, less stressed. It's not optional. It's like, do you want to stay and be run into the ground and hating your job and wanting to quit? Or do you want a happy life and be a happy worker when you return back?
Yeah, that's the real deal, right? Like if we're not doing this detachment, if we're not taking vacations mm-hmm. or just detaching in whatever mm-hmm. you know, whatever ways we're afforded, the short-term implication is there, right? The stress, the strained relationships, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But the long-term implications are even graver.
Yeah.
Right? You're talking about long-term health complications.
I need a vacation already.
What is it about vacations or the different types of vacations that we might, you know, indulge in or take advantage of that, you know, that help us? How does that work?
Yeah, so it seems kind of wild to talk about the different kind of vacations when nobody's taking vacations altogether.
Right.
But I'm going to go there for those sophisticated vacationers like myself.
And then we're going to talk about unicorns later, right? Other mythical creatures like people who take vacations.
Unicorns. Oh my gosh. All right. So there are three different types of models of vacation.
All right.
From the Vacation Queen. Typical standard vacation when you completely unplug and go on an adventure and don't look at work.
Gotcha.
There's a staycation.
Okay.
Where you stay in your home.
But you're off work. Okay. All right.
And then there's a workcation, which is something I've been doing for many years but didn't know it.
What's a workcation?
Which is a vacation away from your home in which a significant amount of your time is dedicated to work. So maybe you're in Bali working on a report, but you're also in Bali. So
wow, that didn't sound hypothetical at all.
Oh, I've done it in Thailand. I did it in Colombia. Yeah.
Okay, now let me ask you a question about that. And I don't mean just to jump to that one.
Yeah.
But that, there's something immediate about that example that both scares me, but also, mm-hmm. hey, it's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So part of being able to successfully vacation, right, and detach and get that rejuvenation, re-energized, et cetera, reduce stress, et cetera, is that we are in fact disengaging from work, physically disengaging from work, psychologically disengaging from work,
right?
But if we're if we're mixing, mm-hmm. right? If we're workationing, that's a cool verb.
Yeah.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
We can.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I did it in Mexico a couple years ago for one of the first times, I guess. And you're in a brand new, beautiful environment where you go outside and you're mm-hmm. in awe of a new culture, new food, new everything. And on top of it, somebody else is making your bed and putting fresh towels in your bathroom. So there's some luxury and relaxation that comes from getting rid of the mundane tasks of taking out the trash and things like that.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
No, I okay, that makes a lot of sense, right? In other words, an important piece to making that work is making sure you're engaging in these new surroundings and the things that they are offering you and enjoying them. And so it's funny, I hadn't thought about it this way, but it's another example of boundary management, right? We talk about boundary management sometimes, but so now you're on vacation, mm-hmm. but you're still managing boundaries because part of your time you're gonna be focused on work and you know, actively engaged in that and cognitively engaged in that. And then you're going to go sit on the beach and sip a Mai Tai and have a whatever, right?
Isn't that marvelous?
Well, it would be, yeah. I have to say, though, for me, I would struggle with that.
Okay, tell me why.
I would struggle with a workation. I would struggle workationing because I would have trouble turning it off cognitively.
Turning the work off or the vacation off?
The work off.
Okay.
I would have trouble turning the work off. Mm. If it's there, if I know that that's part of my responsibility, right? I'm not saying I'm not capable of learning how to do this
and I'm willing to learn, of course.
You know, I'll read your book and all of that stuff.
But that's your struggle.
It's my struggle.
Anyway.
That's correct.
But I think to me, it's easier because as soon as I'm done at 5 o'clock, I get to go to the central square in Columbia and you better believe I'm grinding away at that report to get out the door by 5 o'clock.
Right, right. Oh, that's interesting. I wonder, you know, I don't know that there are data on this, but mm-hmm. I would love to see, you know, like efficiency of work while on a workation.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm telling you though, I'm so much happier doing work. I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I'm efficient for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm a better worker when I am either on vacation or I have one planned mm-hmm. or if I don't have vacation on my calendar, I'm falling asleep at my desk, like,
fascinating.
Looking for
the next one.
Yeah, I don't know. I need it.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, right? Because in many ways, that's a version of, I mean, that type of a vacation where you're still working during mm-hmm. the day, but you're enjoying mm-hmm. being away at night. I mean, there's a version of that that is just the work family distinction as well, right? You're at work and then you come home. And you have your family there, and what? Mm-hmm. And so I could see, I guess, some of the same opportunities for engaging in those non-work activities that you might do that are so clear when you're on vacation, but they're there at home too, right? Not to say, see, we don't need vacations because we can just
mean.
Do it. But
I see what you mean.
But if we applied that same mentality, mm-hmm. and I guess I'm looking at this through my lens and trying to get my head on straight, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, if you apply that same mentality of, look, focus on that time, be efficient, but then be done.
Mm-hmm.
And now that boundary is there and you've moved on to the next thing.
Yeah.
And if it's not, you know, the beach, but it's still, hey, you know, my family or, you know, is events at home.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Does it matter, like, is the best thing to do just a straight vacation?
I've thought a lot about this.
Uh-huh.
I think there are different times of the year, different times of your job, different feelings that you're needing for yourself personally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is amazing to take the time completely unplugged and off, but I don't mind it interspersing some, like I'm going to Bali next in March.
Details to follow.
Yeah. Right. And I'm going to work and play and mix them all up together. And I'm not dreading that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just doing it all really thoughtfully and mindfully to make the most of both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine, too, like for some people, the job just doesn't work that way.
Right.
And then, obviously, you know, you don't. And so that's part of it, too. And everybody's got to kind of evaluate their own situation.
Yes.
To see, you know, how do I maximize vacation. The you know, how do I set it up so that it's right for my reality?
Yeah, and I was thinking about that. It's got to be. I haven't even thought about the obstacle of bringing a family with you to do a workcation. I don't know that it's possible. Like,
right.
I was in Mexico walking around with V, your wife, yes. And I got a work email that something needed to happen immediately. And I was so perplexed on how to handle the situation of like, I'm out having fun with my friend. I don't want to drag her back to the hotel right. And do this thing. I'm like, is this thing important or how do I solve this? And I told her and she helped me solve it. And lucky you, married such a wonderful person.
Yeah, no, I won. Whatever the competition is, I won.
I won her as my wife too, because that was fun. But yeah, so family presents a different...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And by the way, a side note in that story, a lesson I'm learning from hearing what you say is that I deserve to go on vacation by myself. I'm thinking Las Vegas, but that's... Thank you. I appreciate the support for that.
I don't know that I said that.
I heard it. I heard it. It was quiet, so I could understand why you didn't hear it, but okay. It was there. Yeah, no, that...
You're so funny.
Yeah, it's a day, huh?
Yeah.
So, okay, one of the other things I was thinking about mm-hmm. with you talking about the vacations, though, is not only do folks want to be thinking about the right way to do it, right? The staycation, the vacation, the yeah. workcation, et cetera, but also when you do it matters too, doesn't it?
Tell me about that.
Well, I was just thinking about, like, depending on, you know, what my world of work is, right? Mm-hmm. You know, because it's not always, for many of us, right? It's not the same thing week after week, but, you know, there are ebbs and flows yeah. and times when it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it seems to me like if we're talking about vacation as being this time to detach, to reduce stress, to get, you know, and be yes. able to rejuvenate, then, you know, like if I'm a tax person, yeah. then... taking vacation in April is a horrible thing, right. but taking it in May is perfect.
Perfect.
Right?
Yes.
And so, like, on the one hand, if I'm taking it during these crazy busy times, I'm actually making it worse for myself and probably yes. making it near impossible mm-hmm. to fully detach mm-hmm. and feel those rejuvenating benefits.
Yeah.
And yet, when I really need it, seems like the perfect time to take it.
Yes.
Right? After that's passed.
So, again, thoughtfully about yourself and right. your life. It also makes me think about how it gets complicated when you're a couple or a family because those things might be different for everyone. So it has to be kind of negotiated in
for
the household.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dual earner families and, you yeah. know, and then kids' schedules.
Right.
And yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yet figuring it out is important and it's worth the time, right?
Oh,
and worth the investment.
Worth it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts? And I'm going off the rails here, but it's just something that I was thinking about as we were talking about this. You know, some people I know are very like block vacation based. So I'm going to go once a year for 2 weeks or mm-hmm. 3 weeks or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever I have. Mm-hmm. And then other folks I know, they're like, I take a couple days every month and that's my jive. And that's how I do it. And I'm wondering your thoughts on that.
I think I've thought about this also. I think everyone is so different and everyone should just, again, be thoughtful and mindful about what works for them and what makes them happy.
Yeah.
I have an aunt who has gone to Iceland 13 times. And as much as I tell her, can you please go somewhere else?
Right.
Because it's breaking my heart. Right. I so love adventuring in new cities.
Yeah.
What's right for one person isn't right for another.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's my immediate
gotcha.
Thought and reaction. But I could be convinced another way.
No, it makes sense. It makes sense, right? And I could imagine too, like the nature of your work would matter too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and it could just be that, you know, getting a 5-day weekend every month mm-hmm. is better than getting 2 weeks in Bali or whatever
right,
that may be.
Right.
But I meant to ask, by the way, what's your ideal, like, number one vacation choice?
Like location?
Destination, yeah. Or
Bali.
Bali, it is. Yeah.
Someone asked me that. Mm-hmm. A cab driver asked me, if you go anywhere in the world, where would you go?
Right.
And I said, Bali. And then I went home and I booked the flight. Because I'm like, psh.
Dang.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
But
I could never do that in a million years. Like, I would have to talk it out loud for about a month and a half.
Honestly, I yeah. went to a few yoga classes. And mm-hmm. after my second class, I was like, well, I got to go to the motherland and just go to Bali.
Nice.
So
okay. All right.
I'm going in March if you want to.
Hey, I know. I see where this is going. You're taking my wife again, and I get to play single dad for another 2 weeks. Yeah.
I heard you did really well.
I survived. No, it was good. It was good. The kids are great. They were supportive.
They're so great.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a lot of friends help too. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Takes a village.
She came back. There were still two kids.
Yeah.
Everybody was alive, had eaten,
perfect.
Mostly had showered. It was
perfect.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Perfect. Home run.
Yeah. Well, all right. So I think we got to wrap up for segment two. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, we'll come back and we'll continue this conversation about vacation, talk a little bit more maybe about detachment and give folks some tips for making this work in their own lives.
Tip of the day.
Tip of the day.
Welcome back. You're listening to Life in the Balance on Coyote Radio with Dr. Casey Lear and Dr. Mark Eggers. Again, we'd love to hear from you. Send us your questions to livelifeinthebalance@gmail.com. We're also on the web at livelifeinthebalance.org, and you can listen to any of our archive shows on the Life in the Balance page on Podbean.
Nice. All right. Final stretch.
Here we go.
Final stretch.
Last
All right.
Minutes.
So do we want to just like jump right into TOD?
TOD.
TOD, which I did make that up. That is because I am creative and clever.
You clearly had a vacation recently.
I did. You're right.
Boosting creativity.
Look at you sneaking research in.
Ooh,
ouch.
That's what I do.
Tip of the day time.
What's your tip of the day, Mark?
Oh, you making me go first?
Yep.
All right. Well, you know, my tip of the day is actually related to one of the things we were talking about earlier about, you know, once you're on vacation, how do you disengage, right? How do you detach? And so my tip of the day is this. If you want to make sure that you're able to successfully psychologically detach when you're on vacation, it's not just enough to be removed from work, right? But you have to engage in non-work activities, non-work thoughts, non-work leisure activities. Read a book, mm-hmm. do some exercise, whatever you enjoy as a hobby. Go to the beach. But, you know, those things that you know, how you were talking about when I'm in Mexico, I'm working, but this is what I'm thinking about later and I'm doing those things. It's so to facilitate psychological detachment, make sure you fill that space with the things that you want to enjoy, that you want to do, those non-work activities.
Yeah. What are the things you do as non-work activities on vacation? And maybe you're still fine-tuning them, but do you have some that you...
So it's so funny because, you know, I love to read, right? I read all...
Yeah.
But I also read all the time as a professor, mm-hmm. right? So it's hard to find time for leisure reading, et cetera. But this is where I mess up a little bit because I bring books on vacation... And they're all like related to work, you know, like, oh, I got this great book on, you know, work-life balance and work that I want to read. So, but definitely. So when I do it right, one of the things I do is bringing books that I want to read, right? Things that I want to read that I haven't had a chance to. Okay. That's, you know, hopefully lighter and fluffier than what you normally read for work. Definitely trying to find, activities in the place I'm going, a good restaurant, right? A good ice cream shop, a good coffee shop.
Ooh.
I would love, and listening to music, that's a big one for me.
Really?
That's probably my go-to move. Like when I need to detach, listening to music is, you know, 100% my first move.
Those are amazing.
Yeah.
So it's like taking out your old life routines and rituals and your, you know, working week and replacing it with fun things that you... look forward to
it's
doing.
Great way to put it. It's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if you just take them out and you don't replace them, you're thinking about them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that you're ruminating.
It's a good
right?
point.
Yeah.
You're checking email.
Checking email.
Oh.
Next thing you know, you're jumping back on that work train.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's my tip of the day. What's yours?
I like it.
Thank you.
So mine I've already kind of talked about, but I think it's so important to be self-reflective about choosing where you go on vacation, whether you're doing a staycation or a workcation, really think about what your heart and soul needs and design it and execute it just as that. I think we look for prescriptions on what I should do for my vacation. Right. Should I do what Susie at the office did and go to Italy for 2 weeks? Like, maybe don't follow what that person's doing. Choose what will make you happiest and fill your life up and do that.
Love it. Love it. That makes so much sense. And so, like, that might be where you go.
Yes.
It might be when.
Yes.
It might be who you take with you.
Yeah. I always feel myself out. I'm like, sometimes I need to be in a busy city and I like being in Paris and I want to be just jammed full of French people and croissants. But sometimes I need to be in the jungle and relaxing on a beach and really thinking about what is it you need at this time of year. Mm-hmm. And right now I don't need a city. I need some jungle and some beach.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Love it. That's a great tip.
Yeah.
I just hope that everybody listening ends up, you know, on a beach somewhere soon, or, you know, in a city, or at a ball game or concert, or just, you know.
If any listeners take a vacation because of this episode, please email us and let us know where you went.
Yeah. Send us pictures.
Yeah.
Right. And a ticket, perhaps.
You know, we do guest lectures.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, have lecture, we'll travel. You know, I think regardless of the type of vacation, right? So all this, and I really like your point about, you know, it's about you. Mm-hmm. And so, right, so think about what's going to work for you. I really like that. Mm-hmm. But so regardless of these choices, the critical thing, right, is providing a way for you to detach from the workload, right? All those things we talked about at the beginning about why vacation's important, or they're all tied to this idea that workload is high, that leads to stress and other, you know, you know mental and physical health, you know, challenges, you know, as a function of continued high levels of work demand, high levels of stress, and there's a cumulative effect too, right? In other words, it increases, it gets harder, it gets worse over time. And so the critical thing is finding ways to be able to detach from that and give your mind and your body and your soul time to rejuvenate and to be away from that demand, that constant demand.
Mm-hmm. It's so hard when we think our job is so important and the task we're working on is the most important thing we do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's such an interesting point. Yeah. I stumbled across that or something like that a few years ago, where I realized that, man, taking on all of these extra projects or extra responsibilities that I found myself doing, that I found myself that caused stress in my world, right? It's kind of narcissistic. Mm-hmm. It's kind of arrogant, right? Mm-hmm. If you think about it through that lens of like, oh, I'm so important, and oh yeah, I have to be the one that does this, and right?
Right.
That's a bad place. That's a slippery slope to a bad place.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's value in taking responsibility for things and doing great things, but when you're overloaded, it's not worth it.
No, it's really interesting. The whole idea of like when we're caught up in performance and who we are at work, right? So there's research that shows that the more our self-esteem is tied to performance, right? Tied to work, tied to who we are as a worker, so to speak. The harder it is for us to detach, right? That we're less that we're less able to do that, or we don't do it as well when our self-esteem, our self-worth, is tied to that identity.
That
right?
makes perfect sense. Yeah. So you have to find things in your life that add to your self-esteem that aren't work-related, even if it's being well-read or, you know.
Right. Yeah, building up those other aspects of our lives, of our identity, right? It's one of the challenges of having our identity so wrapped up in who we are as a worker and as a performer.
Yeah.
Of course, then it's going to be difficult to disengage from that, because if we're detached, then we're not feeding that. We're not, right? We're not demonstrating our worth through that role.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry. We could talk at exactly the same time, but it would make it very confusing to the listeners. You please go.
I was going to say, it's really not great to have your self-worth or identity tied up in any one thing, and better to diversify and have many pillars you're standing on, because that person who identifies with work so much, as soon as you get laid off, you're now the most depressed you've ever been in your life.
Right.
And that getting laid off happens to people arbitrarily. So many, many baskets, many eggs.
Right. And there's individual differences in that too, right? In terms of, you know, how many sort of pillars of identity you can function in and feel efficacious and feel like you're doing well. But the point is, I think you make a good point, which is if it's really all about one thing, if it's really all about work, you're vulnerable, right? It's you're vulnerable to stress, to overwork, to overcommitment, and to physical and mental health outcomes as a result when we struggle there.
I've been seeing people lately who I can tell that are way too over-identified with their job, and it's a bit of a turnoff. It's like, they become steamrollers and blindsided, and they're just, I mean, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Well, you know, I mean, that's something like that. I know, and I don't remember exactly, but that movie didn't turn out well for him. I know that. But but no, there's a really serious point in what you said, which is if we are so wrapped up in that work identity part of us, then how good can we really be in other aspects of our lives, right? How good of a partner, how good of a friend, how good of a parent, you know, it does, you know, I realize we've jumped from vacation a little bit, but, but you know, it does, it makes it very difficult to be strong and healthy in those areas. And I think, you know, ultimately being able to detach, being able to vacation in whatever form that looks like, you know, not only is a reflection of that, right? In other words, it shows that we're able to sort of balance and have these other areas of our lives that are important to us, but it also feeds that. It makes it stronger. It makes it, right? So it's kind of a cyclical thing.
If you don't pull away from your work, how could you be anything else?
That's right. That's right.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it's like, I don't know if it's a spiral or not, but it certainly, we can expect that it can be just pull us in one way or the other. So I think, you know, however it works, we need to encourage folks, and we need to think more and talk more about being able to detach and how that, you know, how we get there and how that works. Vacations, and we talked about that today, obviously, that's a big part of that. But it's also it can be a part of our everyday approach to work and life, right? That it's important for us to have regular moments in our life when we are detached from work and we are healing, we are resting, we are engaging in other aspects and other things, other parts of our life that are important and meaningful.
And build a workplace culture that you applaud people when they go on a trip, that you are supportive and encourage your employee, you know, have a great time at your kids' awards ceremony. I'll see you in a couple days. Enjoy it. Love the best time. We have it covered here.
You know, we need to add to our tip of the day, we need to add something called like, hey, leaders, listen up, right? And like, listen up, leaders. There you go. I like it. Because you're right. We're talking about this to the individuals and employees and what do you do? But the bottom line is, if these things are going to be facilitated and supported, that's got to come from the organization, and it's got to come from leaders. Create that culture that rewards and supports employees taking time for themselves. Love it.
Take the weekend off, Mark.
You've
earned it.
I have earned it. So have you. All right. Well, I think we've reached the end of our episode. That is our time for today. Thank you for joining Life in the Balance on Coyote Radio. Remember to check us out on the web at livelifeinthebalance.org. Send us your questions at livelifeinthebalance@gmail.com. And listen to our archived episodes on lifeinthebalance.podbean.com. Our thanks to Amy Alvarez for producing today's episodes and fixing technical problems on the fly.
Thank you, Amy. Very impressive.
And to Manny Iziagula for managing our website, and to all of you for allowing us to share part of your day. Remember, you deserve health, happiness, success, and love. You deserve life in the balance. We'll see you next time. Be well.
Bye, friends.
listening to Coyote Radio, broadcasting from the campus of California State University, San Bernardino. Coyote Radio, local bands 24/7.